is dictating and manipulating his life. There's a passage in the book of James when he teaches us about trials and tests and troubles, and he tells us that we're to add it up, we're to count it all joy, not for the trouble we're going through, but because of the process that God is at work in the trouble to make us more like Jesus, that this trouble is going to work out a patience in me. Trouble is working toward patience in me, because that's going to drive me to the Lord to seek solutions and answers to deal with my problems that I'm facing. God's going to give me wisdom, and when He gives me wisdom, the solutions for the things that I'm facing in life, that is going to help me be more approachable and accessible to people, more patient with people in the things that they are struggling with and going through. And when all that is working out in our life and we seeking the Lord, asking Him for wisdom, because you got to really think about it. A problem is not a problem if you have the solution to the problem. Problems are only problems when we don't have the answer to the problem. And you see, God has the answer or the solution. He is the solution to every problem we will face from now on in life, in the kingdom of God, doing what He's called us to do. He has the solutions for that. He has the wisdom to know how to take the next step, to know what to do next, how to accurately and authoritatively apply the knowledge that we have in Him. He teaches us that through going through the troubles that we have to go through. But if we don't approach Him believing He has the solution, therefore we don't approach Him in faith, we can't expect God to bring any of these things out in our life and give us the answer that we need to deal with the problem. So James says if a man comes to God and he doesn't come in faith, he is a double-minded man. He is tossed to and fro like the waves, which are controlled by the wind. This water here, I've got a water bottle. I just wrapped up drinking one. I got me another one. This water is fairly cold. It's not long been out of the refrigerator, but it's on the decline of becoming more room temperature. Now, if I took this same bottle of water and I went and poured it in the pot in the kitchen and turned it and put it on the stove and turned it up on high, this water will turn into a gas, a steam. It's going to boil. Now, I can reduce that heat, turn it down, let it come back down to room temperature again, put it back in this bottle, put it in the freezer, and this same water that once was boiling is now going to turn into ice. Why is that? Because water is completely at the mercy of its environment. This water sit out long enough, it's gonna be about 64 degrees. That's what it is in the house right now. It's about 64 degrees. Put this water in the freezer, it's going to be whatever the temperature of the freezer is. Put it on the stove, it's going to boil. Why? It is controlled by its environment. You put wind on water out in the sea, you're going to have waves. That's exactly what God did. He sent a wind on that vessel that Jonah was on, and that wind blew those waves up against that ship and near about broke it up, because water is manipulated by its environment. That's what we see with Jonah. His environment is manipulating him. He's not being governed by the truth. He's not being led by a shepherd. He is being manipulated by his surroundings. Whatever he sees with his eye, whatever he feels, smells, touches, his feelings, that is what's dictating his next step. And that's not living by faith. That's a living according to what we see or by the flesh. And the believer that lives in the abundance or in the peace of God must live by faith. You know, it was Jacob who told his oldest son, Reuben. He said, Reuben, when he gave the sons the blessings, he said, Reuben, you're the excellent, the most, you have all the potential in the world. You have everything needful to be great. But you're unstable as water. You manipulate it by whatever circumstance you're placed in life. Whoa, I know that's a blow to us at times, but we find ourselves there when we're being governed by our flesh. We are allowing our circumstances in this life, like water. We're unstable. And this is exactly what Jonah was. One minute, he's on the high. He's grateful for this plant that God made for him. Scripture teaches us he's grateful for something, this plant, but he was not grateful for someone who made it. And there's a difference between being grateful for something and being grateful for someone. You take the something away, you take your gratefulness away, but you can take the something away when you're grateful for someone and you're still grateful. Why? Because his constant presence is always there. Those plants, those people, those things in your life, those problems in your life, they're going to come and go. But the one constant that you want is the presence and favor of God and him and his ways and promises working in and through your life. And when you're grateful for them, it doesn't matter what life throws at you. You can be stable and steadfast and settled and be at peace in your mind. But when we are not operating in faith, we become unsettled, disturbed in our spirit. Why? God takes peace off of us because he's the one who gives us peace. And he only gives perfect peace to those whose mind is stayed upon him, those who trust in him. God keeps us in that. Jonah was not at peace. He was disturbed, unsettled, up and down on this roller coaster. Yes, there was a lot of twists and turns, but he kept getting off in the same place. A pouting pity party. Why? Because Jonah made everything in life about himself. And he felt like he had the right to do that. And it just continued to cripple him again and again and again. And we see that God also created this worm. And this worm ate this plant. And it damaged the plant enough that it withered. And when it withered, here's Jonah again. He goes from being grateful to crying out for God to take his life. He needed just to end his life, get him on out of here. This topsy-turvy, up and down, unstable ways. And then God says, wait a minute, let me ask you this question. Why are you showing more pity toward this plant that you didn't have any investment in? You didn't plant it. You didn't grow it. It's only been with you for a few hours, and you are more pitied over this plant. Why? It's got nothing to do with the plant. It had everything to do with you. And then God proposes the question, shall I not have mercy and pity upon this great city and this great number of people for whom they have even 120,000 small children that can't discern between their right hand or their left hand, and much livestock, much cattle? Should I not, that I have an investment in, that I've created, that I see, should I not pity them? And that was an open-ended question. And you have to ask the question, why is that left unanswered? Because it's left for you and I to answer. You see, all through the book, we find God preparing something. Preparing something, preparing something, preparing a servant, preparing a wind, preparing the ways, preparing a fish, preparing a people, preparing a plant, preparing a vehement sun and wind to beat on Jonah, preparing a worm. You know, but he's not done preparing. That's why he leaves this question open for you and I, that we must answer. That we must answer. Yes, God, I'll answer that question with you. I can tell you, God is good, and that He will relent in bringing harm upon us when we acknowledge Him in faith and turn from our ways. Yes, I have a message of a Redeemer that I need to go to all the world and proclaim with all my heart of what He's done for them in Christ Jesus. Yes, I need to answer that question because God's preparing me not to be just harmless, but to be helpful and not to have hope in hopeless things, but to put my hope in Him so that I can go tell the world of what He's done for me and for them and for the rest of us. God bless you.